this. Praise God. All right, so I guess, do you want to start? No? Okay. I will start, and then I'm going to go. Which way should I go? Okay, I'm going to start.
Clockwise.
Just follow
everybody
here.
Speak.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
can we volunteer?
Yeah, let's volunteer.
Pop first. Pop first. That way we feel the unction.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, Josh, you only get three unctions.
You only get three unctions. You're limited. Use them wisely. All right.
I'm swimming, baby.
All right. So, this past Wednesday, I had the opportunity to preach in the main sink, which was...
Come on.
Who was there?
Praise God.
I was there.
I was there.
My car was
we were in Lakewood.
We were in Lakewood.
Hardcore,
we were in
guys.
Lakewood. Yeah.
Well, I want to say, number one, thank all of you for interceding in with us in this group and allowing that to take place. I've been here for years and never given the opportunity for that. I felt it for a long time. And it would not and did not happen until we came together.
Hallelujah.
And your prayers helped make that possible. So I want to say thank you for that.
Come on.
Not just for the opportunity, but for the breakthrough that happened. Got up there and just felt complete.
Hallelujah.
Just push and releasing stuff in the atmosphere. Now, what I want to say about that is... after I finished, I talked briefly about a word God gave me about interpreting your tongue, about how that when we speak in tongues, we release mysteries out into the spirit, and I felt like there was a word for promised land that God wanted us to begin to interpret our tongue, meaning that we would begin to pray and find out what are the mysteries that we've been speaking out for all these years. And in the context of this church speaking in tongues for 40 years, what have we built that's out there in the spirit that needs to come into the natural, needs to manifest? And then once we see and know what's out there, what we've been building, violently pursuing after that and grabbing hold of it by faith and pulling it into manifestation. Well, the significance of what happened, Bishop got up and he began to talk. He said that he went to a convention or a conference or something about almost 40 years ago in the 70s, early 70s. And it was a meeting in Dallas of all kind of preachers back then. And Oral Roberts got up there. If you don't know who he is, he was one of the primary voices of the latter rain healing revival of the 40s and 50s. Man carries a tremendous mantle of signs, wonders, miracles, healings. Oral Roberts University, where Janice Johnson went to college, that's him. So he got up and he shared. He said, "I bring a revelation from the Lord. I challenge each one of you preachers to begin to seek God to interpret your own tongue."
Man.
And the significance of that,
that's back in the 70s.
And the bishop said, "I had forgotten about that word until tonight."
40 years.
Almost 40 years ago, God had spoken that, a word that had been buried, laid dormant, from a man that carries a mantle after which something we are pursuing after, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, all that kind of stuff. That man spoke a word, a seed that lay dormant, and suddenly Bishop had that stir renewed in his spirit. So that's what I want to pray and sow into, is that God would move on his heart and our hearts as a church body to seek after, to find out what we have been praying into for all these years in terms of tongues, the realm of mysteries, the realm of, you know, building in the spirit. I did a whole teaching on that. They'll have the archive up. Probably by Wednesday, so you can view it online, listen to it online. But that was just tremendous. That was absolutely tremendous. I want to thank all of you guys for praying with us when we did the prayer train last time. That was just, man, there was fire on that. And so I really believe something shifted that night. I'm really expectant to see what God's going to do, what he has been doing. Even today with all the healings that took place, Dr. Richard, I believe these things are signposts of where we are traveling to consistently. We're becoming more consistent in seeing these kingdom breakthroughs manifest in the natural. I want it to become a lifestyle and a culture here in this church where it's normal life. I want it to be normal, everyday life for us as Christians. Not that it becomes routine. Not that we lose the awe and the wonder of it. But I want it to be normal where people come here and they get healed, they get saved, they get delivered, they get set on fire, and yes, they go God. Back out there and they get other people saved, healed, delivered.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's that simple,
so
right?
that's my praise report right there.
Yeah.
Who wants to share?
Go ahead.
Real loud.
Okay, so today I came up to Pastor Zach and I was just like talking to him about how I wanted to get deeper. And of course, what does he do? He reads me like a book and he just like starts pulling like all this stuff out. Yeah. And he's like telling me like why I've been feeling this way. And he kind of like dug into how like lately I've been kind of like in a little bit of like a depression and like a fear of man and stuff like that. And like, I didn't even know, like, I didn't tell anybody about how I've been, like, kind of depressed lately, and, like, how if you guys knew me, like, when I was, like, in 8th grade and, like, 9th grade, I was, like, the little goth girl who, like, sat in the corner all the time, just, like, yeah. Like, super freaked out and, like, creepy, and,
You can't see Grace like that, can
you? No. I was, like, black, like, hair, like, gray hair, and, like, raccoon makeup, and black, like, everywhere, and I was, like,
yeah.
But, but anyways, like, lately I feel, because, like, I guess you could say this is a good thing that I'm going through this depression, because I know that God's going to pull me out and something amazing is going to happen.
Man.
Because, I've been feeling, like, the way that I used to whenever I was younger, and I've been feeling like, oh, like, I haven't been feeling God in my prayer life. I've been feeling, like, suicidal again, and very seldom people know, but when I was, like, in 8th grade, I tried to commit suicide twice. There were two different times I almost killed myself, and, like, those thoughts have been coming back, and, like, Satan's been kind of, like, tugging on me, like, dude, this time it'll work, this time you'll kill yourself, this time you'll die. And, you know, like, I've been really kind of, like, I don't know why they're coming back, because my life is so good right now. Like, I'm so happy with my life. I mean, I have incredible friends who are always there for me. I have a beautiful, wonderful church family. The whole situation with my family, I mean, like, we're all brought back together. I mean, there's peace in my family now. There's peace among my parents, which is amazing. Everything's so good and so beautiful in my life. So I don't know, like, okay, well, I do know why Satan's putting me through all this stuff, and, like, I'm always crying at night, and I'm always, like, mad about something or about someone, but I know for a fact that, like, as soon as I get snapped out of this, which I know will be very soon, aka
yeah.
tonight,
yeah.
that God's just gonna, like, get a baseball bat, kind of, like, whack me in the stomach with, like, blessings, just like, cool, okay, that's cool, like I'm just kind of...
Yeah.
Like, it hurts so bad being in a depression, obviously, if anybody
right.
in here has gone through the yeah. depression and the suicide and the, oh, nobody likes me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, excited, because I know that God's going to do something.
Well, let's do this right now.
Yeah.
I want to stretch forth our hands right now. And what the Lord highlighted to me was this isn't, you know, grace, but this has come upon grace. It's a fear of man.
Yes.
And we want to break that thing off. We want to break off the need for the affirmations of men, and I want her to develop and feel the affirmation of the Father tonight. Now, what I told her this morning was she needs to hear for herself Daddy speaking into her heart
yes.
for what he thinks about her. I want to pray that right now. So go ahead and lift your voice. Father, we pray for
Father,
grace right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we release the grace of your Spirit upon grace right now, Father. And I just say no to that spirit of depression. We say no to that spirit of fear of man, Lord God. We say break right now in Jesus' name. We say loose her. I say loose her mind, loose her heart, loose her ears. Right now, she will not receive your words any longer. She does not need the affirmation of man. She does not need all of that. Lord, Father, I pray that Abba, that you would begin to speak by the Spirit of adoption. That yet she is blessed. She is a daughter of God. Lord, I pray that her ears would begin to be open to your voice this time tonight, God. That she would have a heart postured to receive your voice, God, into her spirit, God. To know what you say, what you think about her, God. We just declare, covering over grace right now. There will be no suicide. There will be no influences of the demonic any longer, God. We thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you feel something for grace, I want to just, you're released after we finish to go ahead and go to her personally and share with her about that. So, amen. We love you, Grace. Thank you for coming, joining us. So, she's a hard charger. Who else wants to share kind of what's been going on with you.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it, Caleb. Talk real loud.
I guess lately my thoughts have been getting attacked or whatever. Like, I just be getting, like, random, like, wrong thoughts. Like, just, like, if it be anger or lust or whatever, just, like, I'll just be sitting there or whatever. And I know, you know, you say we're antennas and we pick up things, but, like, I know that it's, like, something, like, attacking me because I've been around, like, I just feel like it's just, like, something trying to attack me. And I've just been, like, getting, like, just, like, angry, like, little for little things. Like, I've been trying to fight it, you know, and, like, I guess I kind of, like, have been giving into it recently. And a couple days ago, I had a dream, and, like, I was fighting, like, this. It was just a dream, and it was weird. You were there, too. You were sitting down. But I was, like, over here fighting, like, at first I didn't know who it was, but it was, like, it was me. Like, I didn't realize it at first until, like, I woke up, and then I, like, thought, oh, hey, this is me. But, like, it was me, like, you know, fighting myself, and I was, like, fighting these things. You know, I was speaking in tongues or whatever, and, like, I had it. Like, it was, like, we were actually, like, fighting, but I was, like, praying at the same time. Like, I had it by, like, I had me by the throat or whatever, and, like, I was on the ground, but then he was, like, biting me, and, so, but then after that, like, I stopped, we just stopped, and we got up, and we were fine, and, like, I guess I kind of, like, took that as, like, you know, I do have the power and authority to fight. Like, God was telling me, like, I had it, but, like, I was giving it, like, I was just, like, oh, like, letting it slide, you know, like, I was sitting there, like, oh, just being friends with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but lately, I've been trying to fight it. So.
Amen. Who's got something you feel for that? You've gone through that or going through that, and you've come out. I feel like someone in the room has something for him.
That's me.
Yeah.
Well, I was going through that, and I don't know if I'm wrong or right, but, you know, we all go through seasons, and different trials, you know, come in different things, different ways. We're not always going to be, you know, super on fire, or I guess we can, but we're not always going to be just, you know, white lightning, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a part, I feel it's a part of you growing and stretching and coming at it a different angle in your spiritual warfare and who you are, and it's going to build your character in a different area of your life.
Amen. Release that prophetic word.
What'd you feel, Justin?
I was kind of the same thing. Like, I don't know exactly what extent you're dealing with it, but I'm a thinker, so I think everybody and myself before I approach you. So it's like, man, for me, like, I would fight with myself so much, and man, I would discourage myself and everything, but what really came to me is, because I would always hear voices like, you can do fine, you know, for a day, but I'm here tomorrow, or I'll be here a week from today, or a month later. I got all year, baby. When you fall, I'll be here. So I'm like, dang.
Oh, man. I'm like, crap.
And then God came, like, and told me, like, straight up this voice, like, you don't got to worry about that. Win for me today.
Yeah.
Win for me today, and I'll take care of you.
Come
so every day I wake up the next morning, win for me today, that's all you got to do. Yeah. Just today. I wake up with that mentality every day.
That's the key right there. I felt the oil on that. Yeah. Live for him today.
Don't worry about tomorrow.
Worry about today. I felt oil on that right there. Did you feel that? I really did. I feel like that is your key right there, Caleb, is living for the Lord today, seeking him for the day, not worrying about tomorrow and what's going to happen in the future because of where you're at in this season. But if you'll focus on hearing his voice today, you'll get breakthrough, and it will. Yes. It's a daily walk, you know what I'm saying? So, amen. That was good what you shared too, also. Anybody feel anything else for him?
I feel like you're going through spiritual puberty, and like you're in a season of quick work, and that God, he's just doing so much in you right now, dude. Because it's kind of like you're on the honeymoon, you're getting romance, and just having a blast, and all this. Yeah. But God wants you to be so effective for his kingdom. Yes. And so it's like, okay, now let's start getting that wisdom. Let's start getting that character.
Yes.
Let's start ingraining. You know, let's start sharpening and this and that. Because, you know, he don't want you to be a toothpick. He wants you to be a sword, a spear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that's just what I kind of see for you is you're going through this time of it's kind of going to be bruising. But the results are going to be so rewarding. And you're going to be so much more powerful. And you're going to have so much more authority in the spirit. And just stronger faith and whatnot. You feel that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So be encouraged with that.
Yeah. Amen. Awesome. Very good. Okay, go ahead. You got to go. Who else? Kind of been. Go ahead.
Well, this whole week has been kind of
difficult for me, and it has to do with my cousin who's in ICU.
Yeah.
And I went in and prayed with her Monday, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I feel like she's going to be okay. I just feel that. Well, within the week, you know, she's still in ICU, still going through stuff, whatnot. So my getting confirmed and being okay started getting a little shaky and discouraged, and getting all these phone calls. Well, she ain't doing too well. She's getting worse, and she had a leak in her lung, and we prayed over that. She got healed. So I was like, yes, you know, there's proof, you know. And my family, my thing was, I was getting angered. I was very angry with God for that week. I was angry because of what was going on, what was attacking my family. And my dad told me this. He's all, sweetheart, he said, they're ignorant to the things of God. Don't get angry. And it's not God's fault either. They don't know. And it's not that I was blaming God. It was just kind of like, I was like, God, you told me everything was going to be okay. And it's kind of like a waiting process for me that I'm learning to be like, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. When is it going to show? It's going to show. It's going to happen. Like, and the one thing that the Lord was telling me, because, like, I told a few people, who am I to go take back what I've already placed in God's hands?
Wow.
Because, like, and that's what God told me. Because I was crying. I was like a little baby throwing a fit. I was in my living room throwing a fit. God, you said it. You said you're going to heal it. And God's like, you gave it to me. Why are you taking it back?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. So I'm still, even though I know, it's kind of like a mind battle thing. I know I gave it to the Lord in my heart, and I know everything's going to be okay. But it's kind of like being, I guess I'm learning to be still.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a blessing.
That's a good word. Don't have to share the context. Who's that for? You felt that was for you.
Being still.
You needed to hear that. And like not take, you've given something over to God, and you're not supposed to take it back. You're committed to His trust. Who's that for? All right.
Everybody in here.
So, all right. So let's pray into that. Abba, we pray right now.
Yes, God.
Lord, that you would just, by your Spirit, give a resolve to these people, God, to commit into your trust, into your hands, the cares of their heart. First Peter, God, we just release, God, the word that we cast our care upon you because you care for us, Lord God. I just thank you for the humility, God, that we will cast our cares. We will humble ourselves to put them in your care, in your hands, Lord God, and not take them back, Lord God, and to wait, Lord, seed time and harvest, God, to have an understanding, Lord, that it's your timing, your purpose, your power that's going to bring these things about, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just commit our hearts to developing a trust relationship, Lord, whether you are Lord 24/7, not just at certain times, not just in certain circumstances, God, but that we trust you with the lordship of our lives, God. We commit our whole being, our emotions to you, Lord God, that we would not waver back and forth, Lord God, but we would be solid, Lord God, like founded, built upon the rock, Lord God, founded in truth. I thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. That's awesome. That's very cool. Who else?
I got a couple.
Go ahead.
A couple small ones. One is because I want to. There was a couple Sundays ago when you were preaching about vindication and all this, and I got a bad example and a good example. I'll share the bad example at work.
Yeah.
There's a guy at work. His name's Craig, and there's like this. Like, we're electricians or whatnot, and you got apprentices, journeymen, and masters, okay? And if when you're in an apprenticeship, it takes like 4 years to be a journeyman. You're kind of like in the military. You're kind of low man on the totem pole, and, you know, you catch... It's kind of like just a known thing, you know what I mean? I mean, they get ragged on or whatnot. But there's this guy, and he kind of power trips up there. I mean, he's cussed everybody out on a deal, kind of bipolar or whatnot. And, I've let stuff slide and just trying. I've been praying for this dude. And a couple weeks ago, man, he got in my face and he cussed me out. And I was like, man, let's just go box. I was like, Lord. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to disrespect you, I'm like, let's just go behind the Connex and fight.
Talk to
you. Know, yeah, I mean, it explained. I mean, dude, like, I was pissed, you know, but I'll tell you this, it lifted my faith, and this is the only thing I can compare it to, as like casting out demons. I hate doing it. I don't like wrestling around with demonic, what's your name, demon, and getting this, and, you know, all that stuff. And, but anyway, when I see, like, in the name of Jesus that they manifest and they come out and stuff, it activates my faith. And so, dealing with this guy, you know, and finally, he didn't want to come up there at first. He's a big old dude, too, man. He was like, no, let's talk here. And I'm like, no, let's go up here and talk, you know. I wasn't trying to cause a scene. Let's come on, come talk to me up here. And finally, he went into the porta potty before. Like, I called him out. He went into the porta potty, and I'm pacing back and forth and waiting for him to get out, and I'm already starting to not get angry. It's starting to die down. And I'm like, no. You know, I feel like the Lord, like, son, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, just let it go. I'm like, I'm dead. And I'm just like, I got to hold on to it. You know, I've already stepped out here this far. You know? And so, like, he got out, and I'm still pressing it, you know? And, like, I'm not even really mad anymore. But it showed me, like, we went up there, whatever. And it showed me, like, I couldn't get, like, crump like I used to. Like, I used to be a pit. Just blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't, you know, cuss. Like, the Holy Spirit had my tongue. And I just felt my heart, like, he was tugging me, like, son, what are you doing? This isn't you. Like, my old man is dead. Like, it activated, it built my faith because it's just God's so real. Yeah. He's got a hold of me. I'm just different. You know what I mean? I couldn't even hold on to an image of punching this dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we went up there, and I called him out, and he didn't want to fight, and whatever. You know, it got dealt with. Zach said I handled it wrong, but it did point to an issue that needed to be dealt with. And he stepped up to bat for me. He called the office, because it has gone. So I failed that one, okay? I went back, you know, the next day, and I had to apologize to him. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and it was crazy, because you just preached on all of this, and it happened to me. Jesus said, if you've offended your brother, you know, before you bring your gift to the altar, go make amends with him. But he's basically saying, I don't even want your worship. Yeah. Don't even come say, you know, I love you and you're holy and this and that when you've over here offended your brother.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, I felt that longing to go and do that. And I did. He didn't receive it, you know. He was just like, okay. It's like, I apologize, man. Just want to let you know. Man. But it caused a scene. I left work early that day. I was ticked off, and so anyway, that brought something to the surface. But at the same time, God got glory from it.
Yeah.
You know, it showed me that I'm changed. I'm different. You know, can't get that way anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I felt that way for 30 seconds, and it was gone.
What was the second one?
And then the second one was just there was a miscommunication in ministry, and you know, I was removed from worship zone, and you know, God was he's telling me, like, I wanted to go vindicate myself and tell my side of the story to Bishop and all this stuff, and I just didn't feel led to. You know, he's like, just chill, keep serving Charlie, you know, or whatnot. And I even, like, kind of, like, had pride to, like, I love the kids, but I didn't want to go back because I felt betrayed by my leader, you know. And so, like, well, I just won't go back because I felt like God was going to put me back there. And sure enough, man, I didn't say anything to Bishop at all. I didn't talk to Diane about it anymore, nothing. Bishop comes up to me Sunday, and he's like, after church, and he's like, now what's going on with you and Diana and us? And I'm like, and he goes, I don't want you away from those kids. And I was like, well, Bishop, those kids are my heart. I don't want to be away. He goes, no, we're getting you back in there. He's like, y'all are ministers. Y'all work it out. And so that's a big deal, the fact that she removed me and he put me back in there. I mean, that's...
So what lesson is that?
I mean, I just... He vindicated me.
There you go.
You know,
whoa.
I mean, he was my defender. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not gonna do anything, you know, whatever. And he basically said, I want him in there. And so he stuck up for me. God spoke to me about this, about forgiveness, because I believe that this is something he's doing corporately. He spoke to me in my prayer closet about this. About forgiveness, that he's taking us to a place of exercising forgiveness. We should be able to forgive 77 times a day.
Yeah.
If not, you will not be effective in the kingdom. How are you going to go to nations when you can't even forgive people?
Yeah.
This is what forgiveness is. Okay, he told me forgiveness isn't okay, Jason, you know, you cussed me out, I forgive you, but I won't let you do it again. He said, forgiveness is forgiving that person and making yourself vulnerable by allowing them to do it to you again. There is no forgiveness unless you make yourself vulnerable for them to do it again. And it's powerful stuff because God's told me that there's going to be people that never fornicated, that you know, didn't drink and cuss and do all this stuff and live out here like that, that was raised in church their whole life, that harbored a demonic spirit of unforgiveness, and they will go to hell for it. He told me, the Lord told me, he said, those that come in agreement with the lies of the enemy will not stand in the day of judgment.
That's right.
And people don't know how important this is, that there is a demonic spirit of unforgiveness that lurks around the body of Christ. It works with the spirit of control. It works with the spirit of religion. And this is some serious, serious stuff. And people are walking around with their hearts just bleeding. And so, like, really, because I had done that in my mindset. Okay, I forgive you, but, you know, how's it? You wronged me once, shame on you. Wronged me twice, shame on me. That's a worldly mindset.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, that's not a kingdom mindset. That's not the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's shown me that. And I believe that... Every day, he's wanting us to exercise that, of actually coming into a place of where your heart hurts by making yourself vulnerable, by forgiving that person, and coming to that place. Peter said, how many times should we forgive our brothers who wronged us? Seven, he said, I'll tell you, not seven, but 77 times. Because what did Jesus say? How can I forgive you if you can't forgive your brothers? How can I accept you into my eternal kingdom of glory when you can't forgive your brothers for, you know, lying or cussing you out or just backstabbing you or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saving you from eternal damnation, you know, getting tortured for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? It's for eternity, eternity, eternity. So it's a big deal. And but anyway, my last thing is I just want to confess a weakness. Is probably my biggest weakness, and Zach says it's the biggest attack on the body of Christ and right now, and that's discouragement. You know, and like, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a consistently emotional dude, but I'm saying when I do get emotional, I get like, it's funny how someone so spiritual can get so carnal real quick. Somebody who's spirit-led operating can get totally carnally minded, trying to keep something in your hands or trying to work out a situation, and it's just totally fleshly, and it just, you know, and so like, and then that discouragement comes on me and it weighs on me. It'll come days at a time. You know, there's days where I'm feeling just so much boom, 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 spirit-led in the glory and just boom, boom, and then I'll just let discouragement come in and weigh me down. I'll start to feel depressed and I have a confession to make, man. I'll be at work and I'll start hearing these thoughts. What are you doing? You're not having any fun. You know, you got people praying for you. You know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, you can go downtown, do this, you know, da-da-da-da. Your heart's breaking right now. You know, what's really going on? These people aren't real, da-da-da-da-da, this stuff. And so, like, I'm just, like, constantly just fighting that, you know, just hearing that stuff, you know, and just all this, you know, thoughts about how people wronged me and just different stuff just coming at me, and I'm constantly just having to fight it, man, and it weighs me down. I can literally feel a weight on my heart, you know, and I'm constantly just battling that, man. I mean, I'm like, I fear God too much to ever turn back. I can't. And I can't stay complacent. I can't. If I stay complacent, I will fall. Because it's either I'm going to be all the way out there for the devil, going hard, hardcore, or all the way going extreme for God. I cannot get to a place of complacency. And it's just, and I fear God to ever go back. So it's just like, man, it's crazy because it's just pushing me. That's my only choice, is just go harder. Get in the glory and just keep pressing, you know. But anyway, if y'all could just keep that in prayer for me, man, because that's something that's my biggest enemy, is just that discouragement.
Yeah.
You know, I have these awesome days. I'll prophesy over everybody, encourage everybody. And then it's like the next day, I feel like my whole world is just caving in.
Yeah.
And I'll start to feel depressed like you, you know.
Let's do that right now. I'm going to shut your hands for Josh. What I want to pray for Josh is that Holy Spirit would engage in his heart to always set his mind on things above.
Yes. Yes.
That he would set his mind to grab hold of the mind of Christ. And I just want to release that right now. I just say, Josh McGowan, that you have access to the mind of Christ at any moment, at any time, any waking moment of every day.
Yes.
And that the Holy Spirit is going to rise within you right now, in Jesus' name, to set your mind on things above. whatsoever things are pure, whatever holy, whatever they're just, they're of good virtue, good report. I just say that you're going to begin to think and dwell upon these things where Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. I just say that your mindset is going to be one in the presence. You're going to stay lodged in the presence. God's going to lock you into this presence through the mind of Christ. Through the mind of Christ. I just release that on you right now, God. We cover our brother in the blood of Jesus. We lift up a standard round about him, Lord. We just say, let the grace of God cover his life. Let a hedge be round about his emotions, his thoughts, his intellect, his imaginations from this day forth, God. We thank you for this prophetic voice, God. We bless it. We honor it, God. We release him, God, into your covering of protection right now, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So if you felt something for Josh, I just want to tell you after we finish, go ahead and share it with him after we get done. Just keep these things. If you feel something for somebody specifically that's a personal thing, we'll wait till we're done and dismissed here. Then you can go to that person one-on-one and share that. Amen. Now, what I'm glad he shared that. I want to highlight that. Who else has had specific things we've talked about in here have life circumstances pop up where it's immediately tested that word? Okay. I know you shared before when we were praying earlier. Do you remember what you shared at when we came here to pray?
Yes.
Can you share, talk about that real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, last week we talked about, Pastor Zach was talking about listening for the voice of God, like in regular preachings, and how when you receive the word, you know, the condition of your heart depends on, like, whether that bears fruit or not. So Wednesday night, I was actually in worship zone. I was the only helper in there. And Brian was talking about, he just, I mean, it's real simple, but to me it's a big thing because it's like the word of God came alive for me. And he spoke on the verse, unless a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom of God. And I've always thought about that, like, oh, you know, you got to be saved to go to the kingdom. But it was like God was speaking to me, and he's like, he was talking about, like, if you're going to come into my kingdom, it's like you got to undo all those mindsets that you learned growing up here. Like, you know, you live through life and you think you have wisdom, like, oh, this happened to me before, so in the future, I'm not going to trust that and I'm going to do this. And it's like God was saying, you know, your experiences, that's not truth. You know, look to me for truth. So it's kind of like he's, and this class, it's like been undoing mindsets that I've had, and it's like I'm a baby again because I'm having to relearn absolutely everything.
Yes.
And then when he was talking about taking it further, that, you know, just when you get the word, that's not it. You go and you pray on it. So I went home, and I was like writing it down in my journal, and I was praying, and I was like, well, what else is there? And it was like God was saying, you know, when God talks about children, you know, to be like children. And I've always thought, you know, be innocent, be trusting. But at the same time, I'm working at a daycare, so I'm like around little babies all day. And it's like they fall all the time and they're learning how to crawl and stuff. And they're in a constant state of like just being receptive to learning and doing things again and again. And the more that they push themselves, the more that they grow. And so it's like he was just telling me, you know, to be in that constant state of like willingness to ask him and like have him teach me. Like, wow. I don't know it all. Yeah. Just because I fell one time, you know, if I don't try, I'm never gonna get back up again. Yeah. I'm never gonna learn to walk if I don't learn how to crawl. You know, and
that's so
good.
Oh, that's
powerful.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Amen. So let that be a standard for every one of us whenever we hear a word to go home and to pray on it and hear God's voice.
Yeah.
In addition to what we heard audibly in the teaching, go home and, you know, get in your prayer closet and dig out that thing and see what God has to say about that. That's so good. Amen. What do you feel?
Man, I am in like a state of being overtaken. Okay, there it is. This is released. Go God. Go. State of being overtaken by blessing.
Yes. Come on.
Okay.
Jesus, yeah.
My God.
What was that, Jeremy?
Please help me. No. Holy Ghost.
No transparency.
All righty then. Wow.
This is funny. I just want to say this. This is funny because during their wedding, I prophesied over them a spirit of joy, and it's like, ooh, it's like manifesting, man.
Hey, oh my God! Like I've been overtaken by joy. I've been just blessings. Like even in the midst of the enemy coming in my mind, and I'll get attacked with like inferiority, and you're not good enough, and you don't have enough experience to do this. You lack knowledge in this, and the Lord says, no, I, in your weakness, I am stronger.
Yes.
And just everything that I lack, he will supply. Yes. And he just puts people that's around me just to fuel me with that knowledge that I need. He's always been faithful to do that. And just the, and on the spiritual side of everything, and what's going on is just what you've been talking about with words and all that good stuff. When I hear the preaching, it's confirming things that God has spoken to me in my mind throughout the day. And it's like the opposite. Instead of, you know, that confirming and I go get it later,
yeah.
I'm hearing it beforehand, right, and it's confirming things. Mm-hmm. And I've had, I mean, at least three or four people just prophesy stuff and it just, boom, instant manifestation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like in this season of just exploding manifestation. And I'm just in a... Oh my God, dude, I'm literally overtaken by blessings and increasing in a prayer, in my prayer closet. Just, I haven't felt such a pull to be in my prayer closet.
Thank you, God.
As of now, just, yeah. I feel like I'm constantly not praying enough. Mm. Even when I do pray and I'm, oh, that's good, blah, 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 I feel like, no, more is required, more is required. Pull more. You must pray more. You must pray more.
Yeah.
And I feel I've never been so pulled into end time teaching.
Yeah. Wow.
And I don't want to like bash anybody's beliefs on the end times. It's just God is showing me things different than I have believed in the past. And I'm seeing revelation instead of just a, you know, a hooky spooky book of end times. This is a pre-prophesied book of Acts,
yes,
for the end time church.
Yeah.
And just learning to just discern this and pull it out. And I'm like an IHOP junkie, Mike Bickle junkie now. Mm-hmm. Just cannot get enough of this.
Sure.
I'm just in this season of like, I'm a sponge.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. He's very SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. Scorpion.
Glory.
That's awesome. Hallelujah.
I just want to know where you see him going, like after this season of SpongeBob.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Jeremy,
when you absorb, you got to SpongeBob.
I saw ministry platform. I feel like you're going to be given more opportunities here in the church. Like Charlie's going to release you.
Come on.
In some teaching capacities. And I really feel like your teaching gift is being honed in on right now.
Come on.
And I see like a sniper scope. How do you got to go out to the range and calibrate it? There's like a calibration of your view of things prophetically long range.
Come on.
Like, I think that applies to end times, like because snipers like long distance, long ways away. Like I feel like end times, like I saw a sniper scope being calibrated off in the distance, and like lining you up right on your target. Was really like when you shoot, when you release a word, you understand exactly where that word is going to go to at the perfect time and season. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord,
release that.
Release Jeremy into that, God. Just bless our brother right now, God. Jesus, my name. Thank you, Lord. Did you want to share what you've felt, or?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I wrote it down.
Sure.
Okay, so for the past 2 months, I've been going through a lot of stuff, and God has showed me a lot of things because I've been praying. I was praying before then to let things surface that need to be changed, and to be brought to my attention. So I started praying and fasting for a while a couple months ago, and he started speaking to me. I started waking up during the fourth watch every single night for a really long time, for about...
Pause. Fourth watch, if you don't know, is from 3 to 6 in the morning. So, go ahead.
Thank you. And so I was praying a lot for things to be surfaced, and... Just so everyone knows, I'm a really private person. I always have been. I've been really uncomfortable sharing things, sharing problems, sharing things I'm struggling
things that have happened in the past, things that are happening now, I get really uncomfortable and I'm put on the spot to, you know, explain things.
Sure.
So, and then one day I finally got this feeling and I was like, oh my goodness, God's about to take me through something. The next 2 weeks, I was like thrown into so much stuff. I actually was praying for help with finances and stuff. I was struggling with that a little bit. And I had been praying and praying and praying, but one thing that I hadn't been doing, I had been trying to take the situation into my own hands and look for, you know, look for what I need to do. I need to do, not what he was going to do for me. So he spoke a word to my heart, and it was, those who follow me in blind faith will never be led astray.
Man.
So I started, it really touched me, so I started being like, okay, well, I'm going to be blind now. I'm going to just blindly believe that you're going to do this.
That's heat. That's heat.
So, and also I was feeling, you know, to see it come to, you know, come to pass, I need to be blind. And able to see, I need to be blind. So I completely, I went into prayer for like 2 days and started just blindly following him. 2 days after that, I was blessed financially in a way that I would not in a million years have ever thought would be the way it would be blessed. Out of nowhere, like, I didn't see it coming. Out of a random, completely random phone call, just like, finances, blessings, because I was blindly following him. And after that, there was some, you know, I was so emotional because I was so, like, thankful and stuff, so I started going through some more stuff right after that. My family and I had started having problems. We started fighting, and one night it got to the point where they kicked me out, took my phone away in my car, and I was just on my own, and I was, like, I was harvesting a lot of pride in myself because I knew that there was a lot of wrong things that they had said to me that had happened, but I was harvesting that pride, and I was like, I'm not going to go apologize. I'm not going to go say I'm sorry because they need to come to me. One day, I went to my cousin's house on the 3 days that I was without the place to go, and she happened to have my WordPress up. I walked into her computer room to use her computer, and she had my WordPress up, the blog that I had wrote. I think you read it. And it was talking about being humbled. And right then and there, as soon as I saw it, I read it again and got my cousin to take me back to my house and sat down with my parents and talked to them, and I apologized. I let them come at me. I didn't say anything to them. You know, I wasn't like, well, you did this. I was just like, okay, I'm sorry. That night we had like a breakthrough. We all started talking about stuff, started crying, and got closer than like a lot of times we weren't this close ever. We've never been like this close. We never actually prayed together and talked about it. And the last thing was, since all this stuff has been happening, like I said, I've been a really closed person. I don't like sharing things with anybody. So one day I woke up and a friend called me and was like, hey, do you want to hang out? And during those past couple of days, I've been getting phone calls from friends like, you want to hang out? They can tell something's wrong with me. Like, I'm really, you can see right through me, you know, when something's wrong. So they've been asking. And that fear, I started getting a fear of man, of like, judging, and so I started lying to them, like, no, this is not going on, no, this is not happening, I just lost my phone, my car broke down, and that, like, actually telling them lies in order to cover up everything that was going on out of fear. Wow. So a friend called me, was like, let's hang out, and I didn't know him very well, but I was still like, okay, I'm gonna say no, but then I ended up saying yes. I was like, okay, I gotta step it up, because this, I can't live in fear. So I went, we hung out all day. I ended up opening completely up to him, telling him a lot of stuff that's going on. And as soon as I left and went back home and went into prayer, that burden had been completely gone. It was lifted. Wow. I had no fear left in me from just opening up and actually being vulnerable. Wow. So these past weeks have been really, really tough, and they've been triumphant. So.
Yeah. Yeah, did anybody else feel anything for her? I'll come back to you, but feel to say anything other than Josh? I just want to throw this in real quick before you do yours. It's funny how God has a way of showing you the words that you've already declared to him in previous seasons. You know, I'll never leave. I'm committed for life. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm this and that. You know, I'm sold out. I'll go hard. All that kind of stuff. And God will, he will flash that in front of you in a season where you feel like giving up.
Yeah. Make you practice what you preach.
Exactly.
He will do that.
He will do that. That's his nature.
Right.
So, you know, he had you at the first, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
The first time you said, yes, Lord, that's all he needed. Boom. You activated process. You activated seasons in your life where testing would come. You gave him the right to move in. The first time you said, yes, Lord, he didn't need anything else after that. And so you gave him the keys to the car, and he's driving it, and you've got to trust him with it. So before yours, real quick, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I saw you, Selena, like, prophesying over a room of girls.
Come on. Come on.
Like, just girls who have gone through, like, a lot of horrible things in their life. And I saw you prophesying over a bunch of girls, and then I saw you and I together.
Come on,
come on.
Prophesying over a bunch of girls.
Come on.
Because that guy Richard, like, he had come to me like a couple months ago, and he's like, "You're gonna heal young women of like things that they've gone through, like you know, like sexual impurity, like drug habits, and you know, just all sorts of junk that young women go through." But I was, and like that whole, like when he told me that, it was like in January or something when he like told me this the first time. And like that whole time I had been praying, like, I don't want to do this alone. Like, that's kind of scary. And so like the fact that I saw you with me and we're like prophesying over a bunch of young women who are just going through stuff, like, wow.
Didn't we kind of share something like that with you when we... when we prayed together with my wife, didn't we kind of say something like that?
Yeah, I was trying to remember who it was. I think Josh actually told me something like that too, the other night.
So that's kind of a... Go ahead.
I feel a gift stirring right now. I just saw apostle written on her forehead. But,
oh, Lord.
I've already given her this word, and I feel like I'm supposed to share it with everybody for prayer points, and then I believe that it'll activate other unctions, prophetic unctions or whatnot, because... I prophesied over her. Me and this girl were a lot alike, straight up, because she's been a survivor at a young age. She was on her own and whatnot. And I felt like, you know, she came in here with no roots or whatnot, you know, just a random walk-on, you know, kind of like me. And immediately the Lord was like warner, like of offense. And I felt like that people were going to start coming against her, that she was going to get slandered and that, you know, that she was going to see stuff in leadership that offend her, that the enemy's immediately going to try and cut her throat to run her off. Because this girl right here is like a prophetess. She's got powerful, powerful gifts. Yeah. Just great, strong calling on her life. And I believe that God is trying to get her established here, give her stability and a foundation, because she's never really had that. And so God, this is a woman that really needs to be cultivated. And this is something for like you and you to really... grab hold of. She needs to be around women. She needs to be cultivated around women of God. She needs to get that character built. But that's what I just saw. I saw like nobody in her corner. I saw her coming here and like kind of like hurt, like there was a boxing ring and nobody was behind her in her corner. And like that there was going to be all these attacks inside a church coming against her. And I prophesied that over her, and then 10 minutes later it happened.
10 minutes.
And crazy, but so keep that in prayer, and whatnot, and because I've gone through that. You know, we all know the enemy's been trying to run me off in here. Getting frustrated.
You're not the only one, dude. The enemy has tried to run every single one.
And it's because, and I've talked to Charlie about it, and it's because, you know, he's trying to get our roots to go deep. You know, that way when we have our family and our ministry, it's just unshaken, it's stable, and all that stuff. And so that's what he's doing with her.
Amen. You know, anybody else want to say anything to Selena? Okay,
Jesus also, like, spoke to me directly in being, this was a while ago, but I was trying to be overly strong. I was trying to be like, okay, well, I have Jesus, so I'm completely strong. I'm totally strong. I'm not weak. And what Jesus, what has been put in my heart is that God says, you are the weak one, and I am the strong one. So I cannot try to be, you know, not vulnerable and not put my heart out there or anything like that. Like, I can't try to be where he is supposed to take over and help me. So through the past 2 weeks, it's just now every morning I'm like, I need to walk in blind faith to see, and I need to be weak to be strong.
Amen.
And that's basically where I am right now.
Amen. That's what we're talking about next week, so.
What?
Yeah. That's what we're going to teach on tonight, but. All right. Would you shut your hands forth to Selena right now?
Yes.
I'm going to lift you up, Selena. Abba, I lift your daughter up right now.
Yes, lift her up.
I bless you right now in the name of Jesus, and I present you before the throne of grace.
Yes, God.
Right now, even as you're sitting there, your spirit man is lifted to the throne of grace. And Abba, I just speak to her heart right now. I just speak that you are releasing healing virtue into her heart right now, God. And Father, I just say, the Lord, that you're breaking off anything that causes unclarity, uncertainty, God, that hinders clarity in her vision, Lord God, from seeing true kingdom purpose right now, God. I just speak by the Holy Spirit that God's raising you up to a new standard, a new standard of living, that your old standard of life is inadequate for the wine that God wants to pour in. There's like a new wineskin being formed, a new way of receiving from him, that you're going to have a better, a greater understanding. You've gone from one level of truth, and you're being raised to another level of truth, even tonight. And I just see that there's a standard of humility, of meekness, but also of vulnerability, that you are going to be open and walking. That word, when I talked about holiness and walking in openness, I just feel like that was for you. You were one of a couple people in here that was for you. And I just speak that God's going to so heal your heart that you're going to have a willingness to open up to all the vulnerabilities, all the things that you deal with in life. And that God's just breaking off all the lies of deception, every bit of lying that's been spoken over you or spoken through you. God's just going to begin to uproot it.
Yes.
And that there's like a pure truth that God's just going to burn inside of you. And there's a freedom. There's a freedom that's going to be a standard. You're going to be branded with freedom. I just see branded like a cattle would be branded. It's like God would brand you like with that the mark of fire would be branded upon you with truth, and that you would be one that would be raised up as a deliverer. There's a deliverance anointing on your ministry and on your life, that God's just going to take you through a process of delivering you into complete freedom, that you're going to have this weighty, heavy anointing on your life to bring others into freedom. It's like a fullness of freedom. It's not just a physical healing, but it's like a mental, psychological, emotional kingdom release into fullness of freedom. I just see that over your life, and I just see that God just shining his light right now, and that don't shy away. God says don't shy away. Don't allow old mindsets to cause you to refrain. But draw near even more. God says, I want you to approach me for grace to draw near. God says, approach me for grace to draw near in time of need. Not to shy away, but to draw closer. And so, Lord, we release that grace on her right now, God. We release the empowerment of your Spirit's presence, God. Lord, touch her heart right now as I speak these words. As we release this prayer, God, we say, touch her heart, touch her mind, God. Transform her, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. So if you feel something for her afterwards, go ahead and share that when we're done. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being open and being honest. Ooh, hallelujah. Who else? Yeah, go ahead.
When I first moved here, like a long time ago, through the first Issachar, because I was the youngest dude in here, and like, you know, in the Issachar class, and it felt weird, like I didn't really know people, and I was real, like, it's hard for me to trust people, like, just openly. I don't trust people right off the bat, so I told Jeremy, like, and Lyle, and some of the guys in that first Issachar, you know, when I first got in here, I looked at y'all weird, and I had walls up, because I was like, I don't know these people, you know, but then, I mean, getting to know them and worship them with them and speak in tongues with them, you get to be a part, and they become part of you, and so that really opened me up. And in this season, like in my life, it's Josh spoke a word a couple weeks back, like I don't know, when we were kind of doing the same thing, and he spoke, like he saw me walking in this winter, you know, this cold season, and I was alone and, you know, struggling to stay afloat and stuff like that. And I've really been feeling that season is where I'm at right now, and so it's kind of been a trying time for me, like a lot of like mental attack, and I take it one at a time, like I was telling him, you know, one thought at a time. But still, it's like, it's been real heavy on me, like kind of a discouragement kind of thing also. But the issue in this season for me was what I released today in prayer earlier. God told me I needed to be transparent. And that's for a long time I've been, you know, I can vent to a few people because I trust them and I know they will not judge me. They are open to for correction and like that. But then there's certain people that I'm like, okay, if I tell them, what if they tell somebody? Like, I'm not totally open for complete transparency. And so that's an issue the Lord's brought up in me that, I mean, to serve, you know, you got to serve. To be served, you got to serve. And in the same way, you know, to give, like, you have to get some yourself to give, you know, freely receive, freely give. So this cycle, like, if I'm not being totally transparent, then everything I'm doing is being filtered through this mindset.
That's good.
And it's a fear of man.
That's good.
That's right. So this is an area that I've been dealing with and struggling with for weeks, and it's been like, man, taking its toll on me. And, I mean, there's been a lot of breakthrough. The Lord's given me, like, this menstrual anointing that I was sharing with you guys. Like, he's really put a burden on me to lock myself in my room and just, if I'll seek it for hours a day, you know, just get in there and diligently seek it. Like, he's prepared it in this season for me. Like, he's shown me the rewards of this season already.
Yes,
but
God.
It's feel like I told somebody, it feels like it's not my will that's hurting to fight. Like, that's never diminished. I'm a fighter, but it's always, like, this season has really paralyzed me to where even though I want to move, it's like after you're done working out, my muscles just won't move. Like, they're shot, and I'm like, man, aching for them to move, but they won't do like what I'm asking to do. And so it really feels like a paralysis state that I've been in. And these words today, like, God told me, you know, to be transparent. Like, once you start being transparent, the fruit of that will show up, and that's the words that we spoke today that I prayed, and that was a joyful and a triumphant spirit. That is the reward of going through and being transparent. And so, I mean, this is all, like, today is, like, and yesterday and this weekend with Courage, I mean, that service, the light, you know, was for me.
Yes.
And I told Josh earlier today, like, I felt it one time in my life before, this authoritative presence, like, just, I was in authority. I was ministering from a place of authority, just in worship, not ministering to somebody, but just in worship. I took authority in worship.
Yeah.
And it's only happened like once in my life, and I felt that today, but I've always suppressed that because I haven't been totally transparent, and by me not being transparent, it suppressed my gifts.
Yeah.
So the authoritative side of me, I've always been real humble. People have never seen the authoritative side of me because me being not transparent has suppressed that.
Because transparency.
And so the moment I started opening up and being transparent to certain people I thought I shouldn't be, it doesn't matter because in the end he'll take care of it, and that's when this, like,
can you just feel the revelation flow?
Yes, man, it's just stirred me.
Jeremy, go lay hands on him. I want you to go pray over him. I want you to call him into the place of the teaching gift and the menstrual anointing.
Yes.
And just decree whatever else you feel concerning this season and him being open. Just speak it out loud. And just stretch your hands forward to him now. In Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Lord. Yeah, Lord.
I just call out that teaching gift.
Yes.
Whoa.
God.
In Jesus' name, come forth right now.
Yes, God.
Come forth, teaching gift, come forth right now. Lord God, I thank you for fathers in the spirit to edify that gift.
Whoa.
And we just confirm and honor that gift.
Yes, God.
As it's being birthed, Lord God.
Lord.
Just honor it as it's being birthed, Lord God, before it even has a chance to come forth.
Yes, Jesus.
God, we honor it and we say it is legitimate.
Yes, God.
The Lord God. Well, in the name of Jesus, God, I call forth that mystery.
Come on.
Gift.
Come on. Bless right now.
It's been in a burning stage. It's been
Jesus.
Coming forth, but now it's being matured.
Yes.
Now it's in the season of an incubator. Now it's being incubated. I see seasonings and I see oils and I see fragrance being poured into this gift.
Come on, God.
Yes, Jesus.
Even as you would age me, I see it being aged and like it's just being kept in a cave.
Come on. Yeah, God. Come on. Come on.
Yes, God. I see
see, Lord God, that you're preparing the fatness of the meat, Lord God, the richness, Lord God, that when he releases, Lord God, the fat becomes oil, God.
Come on.
Oil is released into the atmosphere.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for the mingling of these gifts and these things in his life, Lord God, that you'll mingle them together, Lord God, that you'll use his menstrual anointing to stir his teaching anointing.
Yeah.
Lord God.
Come on.
Yes, God. I will show and all the other dormant things in his life, Lord
Jesus
God, out of this menstrual thing, out of this transparency, Lord God, that you will cause us to stir up in his spirit, stir up in the womb of his spirit, and it will stir up an expectancy, Lord God, it will stir up a hunger like never before, and everything that you have been lacking, it is in this menstrual gift, it is in this time of intimacy with me, saith the Lord, that I will pull these things out of you, says God, that I will pull these bitterness and these treasures of dark places.
Whoa!
God, I will Jesus show you side, says the Lord God.
Whoa! Jesus.
Whoa! Dude, that confirmed. Oh! He knows.
He knows!
God speaking to you, boy!
Jesus. Shut up.
Whoa.
We love you, Justin.
Yes, we love you. We love Justin, Lord.
We bless you. Hallelujah.
Wow. Okay, everybody, before my wife speaks, I want...
You're not pregnant, are you?
No. Jesus, Lord. Okay.
You're laying like it.
No. She's been attacked by some kind of sickness, and it's been going on for weeks. Like, her whole life, she's been, like, waking up, and she'll feel weak, but it's becoming, like, worse in intensity. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I really am. Enough is enough. She's had enough. It's like it's attacking her digestive system. She's just feeling all kinds of things, and I'm sick of it. It's time for it to go. So, let's get after it.
It's time.
Did you want to share something? Did you want to say something about that? Did you want to pray about that now, Jerry?
Yeah. How long has this been going on?
Since I was little. Like when I wake up, I feel like dizzy. I cannot wake up and get up.
I want you to put your hand on her shoulder.
Yes.
Just kneel down or whatever. Yeah. I want you to stretch your hands forth right now. You're calling into that right now, Caleb. Jesus' name. Hashatah.
The weakness, Daddy.
Shoot.
It's gone, Daddy.
Come on.
Yes. Hey, that it's not supposed to be there.
Yes, God.
It's not supposed to be there, Father God. Just let your kingdom come right now, Daddy.
Whoa.
Jesus, right now.
Whoa.
In her house, Daddy, wherever she is, Daddy, there, you're always there. So, Father God, why should that sickness be there? Where you are, Daddy, that sickness can't survive.
Yes.
Daddy's just in that place, Daddy. Like the stuff that's coming off of Jeremy, Daddy, and all the people around here. It's not supposed to be there.
So we just
grab that, and we just destroy it.
Yes,
yes.
God. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Name of Jesus Christ.
That, Father God.
Yes.
And we just ask that you just.
Koto. She cut
off. Release your hand.
Yeah, Lord. Flow.
Yes.
Mm. Flow.
Daddy, just flow over here, Daddy.
Jesus' name.
Just renew, Daddy, that strength, Daddy.
Jerry, put your hand on her belly. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, flow.
Yes,
flow.
Holy Spirit, flow.
Flow.
Flow, Holy Spirit.
Release life.
Yes.
Spirit of life. The whole digestive system, Lord God. Every internal organ, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You carry it in Brazil and you will not carry it any longer in the States. It has to go right now.
We declare it now, God. Jesus' name.
I just declare that infirmity broken right now.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' mighty name, God. Amen. What did you feel, Patty? When you were praying?
I just feel something in my stomach, my belly, like, I don't know. Like water.
Like water?
Water?
Yeah, like
rivers?
Water. Yeah.
Wow. Praise God. So you feel like something happened right there in prayer?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I was reminded of how Dr. Richard said today that sickness is darkness.
Yeah.
And that light just reveals, you know, any dark, what's really going on. So just shine the light that's within you to expose any of that darkness that's in you. You know what I mean? Any generational curses, anything like that, just... I was just reminded of how Dr. Richard said that sickness is darkness.
Yeah.
So you're the light of the world, so there's no darkness in you.
Yeah.
So that sickness has no room to be in your life. So.
You feel better?
I feel better.
Praise God.
Stronger?
Yes. Yes.
My stomach was like hurting me. I was breathing like... I couldn't breathe, and now I feel better.
So you're breathing better. Uh-huh. Praise God.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Come on.
Yes, Lord. Anybody else want to share?
I'll go.
Come on, baby.
I'll give an update, and then I'll tie into kind of what I'm dealing with. But the last thing I told y'all that I shared with you guys was about Jessica Simpson. I don't know if y'all remember that. Well, I don't remember quite what I said, but I've met her since then.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, after that?
Well, no, you know.
Oh, okay. I was like, again?
Did I tell you? Did I tell y'all that I met her?
No, yeah, you told us that you met her the first time.
Y'all.
No.
Some people know. Just briefly.
Okay, just quickly. Like, I found out Jessica was going to be performing at SeaWorld May 9th, and the Lord was like, go. So I went. God completely made a way for me to get back there. Speak to her, whatever the Lord was just put in my mouth. I gave her my name and my phone number, and she kept it, and we were talking, like, this close, like, so close, and we only had, like, a short span of time, and we spoke, and as we were leaving, like, the guy, there was security in there, he cut it off quick, and as I was walking out the door, I looked over my shoulder, and one of the guys motioned to her, like, what just happened, and she was like, she was just like speechless. Well, then Andrea was with me, and who plays the piano at 10:30, Andrea, she looked over her shoulder, and Jessica reached out and was like, wait, like, but neither one of us, we couldn't do what we wanted to do. She couldn't do what she wanted to do. So since then, the Lord has told me that, you know, that she was going to call me in 45 days. Zach knows all about this. I just wrestled with this. And I was waiting, you know, and everyone was like, just keep declaring 45 days and yada, yada. Well, our imagination can be tricky. And I turned it into something, the phone call at least. I turned the phone call into something that I had this whole plan of how it was going to happen. Like, the 45th day, the last day of the 45 days was the beginning of a week-long vacation that my office took, and I thought that that was a setup that God was going to send me. Well, that did not happen. But on the, I believe it was like 2 days before the 43rd day, I'm sitting at the pool swimming with my cousin, and I'm like keeping my phone by me, and my phone rings, and it's a 310 area code number. And I answer it, and I say, hello? Hello? Click, they hang up. And I tried to call the phone number back, and it wouldn't connect me. Like, the phone number did not allow, like, anyone to call back. But it was a Verizon wireless cell phone. I used to watch her show, Newlyweds, with Nick Lachey. She uses Verizon. And so I went home. My little cousin Hannah, she was like, let's look up the phone number. I was like, oh, duh. Like... So I go to whitepages.com, and it's based out of Santa Monica, California, which is where her parents live. And the Lord spoke to Carissa, who the Lord has completely brought, like, just people. Like, the Lord was like, her father is key. He is going to be the one, the Spirit's going to blow over him and encourage her to just call. And so, like, Santa Monica, California is where Joe Simpson lives, and I follow him on Twitter, and he Twitters about love living in Santa Monica, living on the beach, so I know they live there. And it has an address connected to the number is an address in LA. And but she lives in Dallas, so I believe that it was her father testing the phone number, like, to make sure it's a legit person, all this stuff. Well, I was like, never spoke to her, and I was devastated. Like, I was like, Zach, what? God told me 45 days, like, that she was going to call. And Zach was like, you never heard that she was going to speak to you this time. She was just going to call.
Wow.
And you took it and blew it into this whole deal.
Wow.
So I was quite humbled. And I was like, okay. So I shared that with someone, and she was like, when the initial phone call was made, everything is going to unfold very quickly. So I am in a, kind of got my hand spanked, like, for taking, like, I, like, have this whole plan of how it's going to happen, and God's like, no, this is my plan, and I could do it way better than you possibly could. And so I'm in a state of, you know, like, the Lord was speaking to me, like, wait, anyone who waits on the Lord will not be put to shame. So I'm, like, standing on that, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to be put to shame, you know, this is going to happen. And well, then I find out I'm pregnant, and I'm just like, this is so not, like, how I was seeing this. Like, I was already there with her, you know, whatever. And so when I found out I'm pregnant, y'all, I've been, like, now I'm okay. I'm better. But it threw me off, you guys. Like, it threw me through a loop. And the whole, like, Hollywood deal the Lord's called me to feels so far away. And I've been sharing it with some friends, and they're like, no. Just because you're going to have a baby doesn't mean that your calling is put on hold or whatever. So I'm just in a, I'm like so tired during the day now from just physically being pregnant that I don't have the stamina and the motivation to like the Lord's like, all the words that have been uttered and prayed over her are advancing very quickly. So like, step up your interceding. But I, like, have been battling, like, just like you said, like, the paralysis thing where you're, like, move muscles, like, pray, like, go in there, go do that, and you just can't. Like, there's just something that comes over me that I'm just so tired. I'm just like, but then my husband last week was like, what did you say, like, the, well, I did this in the car when I was trying, I was like, that was so good, but he said, like, the weight of how the process of going after what God promised you shows the weight that is on.
Oh, how hard it is to pursue something shows the value of something.
So this is, like, super hard for me. Like, this is really heavy. It takes a lot of, you know, but God's like, is she worth it? Like, what I've called you to, or is that region worth it? You know, not that you're the only one interceding for Hollywood, but for what I've called you to personally, like, is it worth it? And don't let the news of being pregnant, like, stop you. And I don't know why that would stop me, but it did at first. And so then Zach spoke Wednesday night and was talking about how he's personally taken responsibility for Cameron Rollahan getting out of the wheelchair. And something just came on in me, and I was like, oh, I've taken responsibility for Jessica's breakthrough.
Wow.
And her being driven back into the arms of God. So I just need to, if you guys could just remember me throughout the day, just to like continue pursuing this.
Yes.
You know, like, I really should be violently interceding for this a lot more than I am. Like, I've just, the news of being pregnant has totally like changed my perspective, but God's like, stop, like, this is just all part of the plan. But I need you to focus here. So, like, if y'all could just pray. I don't know what it is, but just strength.
I've been feeling discouragement over her. Like, when every morning when I pray for us, I've been breaking that over you.
Thank you. Big time.
And just praying protection over your heart and stuff. Big time. And so I've been praying for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
That happened to me when we found out we were pregnant, but immediately, because I had all these plans for us. You know, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, this house going to be, this, you know, I had it all planned out, you know. And when we got pregnant, it just like knocked me off the high horse. And I'm like, whoa, God, what is happening? How is any of that going to happen now? You know, how are we supposed to submerge ourselves in studying the word and working full-time job and, you know, whatnot, you know, this class and you know, Issachar and, you know, all the things we had planned to do, you know? And, I mean, in my head, I just worked really fast and in my spirit and where I seen us going, the life, the fasted lifestyle and the consecrated lifestyle, you know, consumes our life. So this, like, you know, totally knocked me down. I'm like, man, he's like, dude, relax. You're not in control of your life. You know?
Yeah.
And it's what you said, you know, it's just harder, but it's building character and it's worth it, you know? And this is, God just has something, you know, bigger, better, and more beautiful. That's why there's a third edition. It's a gift of God. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, that's not big and better, but there's just so much more that we just can't see. We can't perceive it. We don't know. We like to, you know, think we know everything God has planned for us, but this is going to change your authority, your relationship with Zach, your relationship with her, the authority you guys carry as a married couple in the spirit, in the natural, as a husband and wife, the influence you can have on married people. I mean, I see John Ragsdale and is it
Kristen?
Kristen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're on fire. Look at them. They're married. They have two kids. They work. They do this. They do that. We're not the only ones in the world that do ministry and have a baby. Now we're going to be knocked down. You know, they have kids. And it just, you know, we have to, you know, we're going to have to just learn the Father's love. I guess he wants us to learn this aspect. And, you know.
Well, I was just, when I found out, because, I'm like, God, if you're going to be sending me there, you know, at different times, like, how do I do that with a kid? Like, but God's like, why can't it go with you? Like, you know, and part of, I'll just say this and then I'll close, but, like, Jessica is getting older. Like, she just turned 29, and she is, like, ready to have kids. Like, her sisters already have kids. And I was kind of, I had so many crazy thoughts. I was like, I'm going to be so embarrassed that I have a kid. You know, like, I need to be this, like, awesome person. And she's like, wow. You know, and I just crazy thoughts. And she Twittered the other day, I'm so in love with home and babies and just being home, just getting, I love getting older. And I'm like, okay, so maybe I don't need to be this immature, like, wow, girl that comes into her life where she's like, well, I can't even relate to her. Mm. You know, but if I, because I know this is going to change me so much, you know, and make me more mature, that maybe this will give me a grace of, even though I'm 23 and she's 29, like, that's kind of a gap, but that I've always, she's mature, like, what she's doing, you know, just that somehow this baby's going to contribute, and what we're going to learn will contribute to this whole deal. So
did you raise your hand?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have two things to share. One's good, the other one is bad.
Okay.
But the good one is kind of not an answer. I don't have an answer, but just want to share what it felt when I had my first appointment with the doctor. And we heard the baby's heartbeat, and I was very concerned about that because I have a friend that just lost a baby, and she was 10 weeks like me, and she went to the doctor. There was no heartbeat. So I asked her, and she put in the thing and was silent in the room, and all of a sudden the heartbeat so loud and strong, just like,
amen.
We started crying right away. Yeah. Even the doctor started crying. So
that's the anointing right there.
It was so beautiful. Like, and when I heard that heartbeat, something changed in me.
Wow.
It was glorious that time. You know, something really like switched in me, and I got scared when I found out I was pregnant. Just like Jason said, what are you going to do? What about all our plans? a baby, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work out with a baby and then all these things. And that moment that I heard baby's heartbeat, I felt like there is a purpose bigger than you think, than I thought. And this baby somehow is part of it, and it's like a key for it. I mean, I don't know how to explain, but I mean,
yeah.
In the future we will know.
That's good.
But that's how I felt.
What was the second?
But the bad thing is, I mean, I'm really struggling with having prayer time in my life. Like, I'm so tired, and I get home so tired. I just want to go to sleep and rest. But I know God is calling us to go deeper. But to go deeper, so I feel like, and we're feeling this like it's not now. It didn't start now. It's like a long time ago. Like God is saying, I have more. I have more. You're not coming, and you're not gonna get. You're not gonna pass this until you come deeper. And He wants relationship with me. He wants like time with me, and I'm struggling so bad with it. Like, and then I don't think you did like talking about thoughts in mind, and I really fell on it, like the devil started putting thoughts in my mind, and first I was fighting, but it got so hard for me to fight that I just accept, like it was mine, and I know it was not, like you're never gonna make it, you know, you're never gonna make it. You're full fire on the weekend church, singles group, our meetings and all these things. But during the week, it's just so hard for me to keep going. You know what I mean? It's not even about being fired. It's just about build this relationship with God, this communion with God that I know I need so bad. Because I feel like He's just right there waiting for me. Like, and I'm just...
Yeah. Did you want to share something about that?
Yeah, I actually have been hearing everybody about prayer. Yeah, I'm gonna be straight up honest. My prayer life has been weak, and you confirmed, you were talking about that even in our circle, that we need to get that intimacy. Well, I was talking with a friend who's from San Antonio, and I was telling him, man, when I pray, I don't know how to pray. Like, it so frustrates me. I'm like, God, and then it's empty. And so from that being so empty, it has made me stagnant and just like I can't do it. I just can't. And I get tired. I'm tired. I'm just like, you know, let me stay in bed just 5 more minutes and maybe I'll be rejuvenated. Yeah. And then
Come on,
pray.
We all do that.
And I feel the same way. I feel empty. I feel like even if I try, I get on my knees or whatever, I don't have nothing to say. Like I can't pray.
But what happened when he told me, and I was just like, duh, the enemy is attacking our prayer life right now because he doesn't want our words to go up.
Come on.
Because God, He knows that when we pray, and it can be so simplistic, God hears it, and He's just like, bam, 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 bam. So He's attacking us so we won't go further.
Yes.
And we need to just get up and say, no, enough is enough.
Yes, and I can attest to that, what you're saying, because I've been, even though I'm being pulled, like I said, I've never been pulled so much in my prayer closet, but I've been struggling with going and praying as well, and this morning I finally was like, enough is enough, and I got up, and it was like I was not praying specifically for, you know, any kind of manifestation. I was going after God. I was like, you know, this is your day, whatever you want. And I mean, just boom, crazy, just splat, anointing, just crazy. And I mean, it went off in here when I told the testimony.
Really, really quickly. Go ahead. Oh, did you have something else you were going to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And I went through the testimony.
I'm trying to get through this. I'm apologizing.
I'm sorry. And I just want to attest that to what you're saying, what I see in the value of that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the harder, what you said, the harder it is for you to go after is the more valuable it is. And the most
you're valuable. Stealing my word, boy.
The most valuable thing that you can go after is your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
because that's centered around everything.
Real quick
testimony. I haven't been like praying a lot lately. Oh my gosh, like I haven't. You know, like the only time I pray is like when I'm at church. I usually like when I go home, I just fall on my face next to my radio and like have worship music playing, and I'm just like just like doing whatever. But I haven't been doing that for like a long time. And so the other day, I was like, my parents go to work every single day, so I'm home alone all the time, and I'm always like super bored. So if I get like bored to where I'm like, I'm about to go walk into traffic right now because I'm so bored, like I put on praise and worship music and I play it like super loud.
That's probably a good idea.
And I just like walk around and I'm like cooking, like I cook, and then I'll be like cleaning the house and I'm like just praising and I'm just like praying and stuff. So I've been doing that now, like kind of as like my prayer time. The other day, like, I got a burden to, like, go and anoint my parents' room with anointing oil. And so, like, I got the anointing oil that you gave the youth group, like, a while back. And I just went and I, like, anointed the door to their bedroom. I anointed, like, every single one of their pillows. I anointed the bathroom door. And I anointed, like, the headboard. And, like, I was just... my mom came in the next day and she was like, Grace, why does my bedroom smell like cinnamon? And I was like, oh my God! I did that on Tuesday or Wednesday. But since then, like, I've noticed a drastic change in my parents. They're so peaceful. Usually when my mom comes home from work and like she's so tired, she like can't even stand up straight or like keep her eyes open. But like every time she comes home from work, she's like, you didn't finish cleaning up the kitchen, you know. She pinpoints every little thing I did wrong, and I'm just like, in the past couple days, like, she'll come home from work, and she's like, oh, hi, baby, and she, like, gives me a kiss, and I'm just like, oh, I didn't even clean up the kitchen. She's not freaking out. Like, yes! And then, like, my dad, like, he'll come home from work, and my dad's just like, oh, hey, what's up? And, like, and my mom's the complete opposite. My mom's, like, total control freak. So they'll, like, be always fighting about different things, like bills and the car and all sorts of stuff, but, like, they have not been fighting.
But it changed because you know.
It's so cool. Like, I'm just like...
In closing that point, I wanted to have you share about when you came home and you went through the thing and you were just got real.
Okay. Can I add something real small on that?
Okay, too? Yeah.
All right. It has to do with prayer. It's on point. All right. Praying is like, I feel like it's like working out. Like if I go in there in the gym and I start banging it, you know, I'm more eager to get in there because I'm seeing results. Yeah. I'm feeling refreshed. Yeah. I'm getting pumped, this and that. And Todd Billing talks about that. You know, when you start pressing in, you get, first of all, we have to get victories in our prayer closet, or we won't have victory in our life. I mean, Bill talks about that. But even Todd Billing will talk about that, like going and building up, you know, starting out 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and then getting to an hour, and then two, and then you're building up to where, you know, just like I used to come home, and I would be so excited about getting into my prayer closet. Because that was my refreshment. I would go, Jeremy, you know, we used to live together. I would go straight to my room. Don't talk to me, dude. I got to go wash all this off of me. You know? And I would get excited because I knew I was going to get my refreshment. I'd go put my songs on. I'd get in there and I'd just start dancing and sign language and picking flowers. Jesus. In the glory, you know what I'm saying? And I get refreshed. But Todd talks about, like, when you slack on that, it's like, all the more harder to pick it back up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you have to stay in that refreshment or whatnot. So, boom, you slack off 2-3 days, you'll go back in there, and it's like going back to square one. Like, oh, 15 minutes is killing you.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's like 3 hours is nothing. But anyway, what he's talking about is, I remember one time, you know, I guess I was wanting to get in the presence, and, you know, I felt discouraged. I had a lot going on. Or whatever, and a lot of my chest, and so, you know, I put on Kim Walker. I love to worship to her, and had my laptop right there, and, you know, had this little routine. I'd do 3-4 songs, get out my notepad, get out my pad, my pencil, and, you know, and then the Lord would speak to me, and, you know, we just kind of had this little deal, and so, you know, I got on my knees, I had the laptop, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I worship you, God, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're powerful, and I'm still feeling frustrated. I'm like, ugh! I'm like, I can't feel anything right now. And I mean, I'm just like still trying and I'm just beat up. And, you know, I got all this stuff in my mind. I was like, okay. I shut the laptop. I turn the music off. And I go sit down. I go like this. I'm sorry, God. I was like, well, what's up then? Okay, well, this is going wrong in my life right here. I'm stressing out. I'm tripping out on this. Boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, I felt the fire of God come down. I just felt glory all over me. I felt goosebumps and everything. Whoa. He's like, no, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He's like, I want you to come real.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
Whoa. That's your key right there. Come real.
You don't have to go through a routine, a ritual, like you don't know me, like we're not close, like we're not friends. Like we're homies, I love oh, wow. you, we're intimate, come you're on. My beloved, that's I
okay,
want
so
you.
When I go crazy,
you go for it, I don't care.
It's totally different when you're single and you can just in the prayer process.
Yeah, if she goes at it, dude, yeah.
I mean, it's like he has to turn the TV up, like, but you're just so on key. But if you're like in the living room listening, like it sounds totally different. So, I'm a come real, so don't.
Yeah,
like.
No, that's good.
Jason?
Go ahead. You were gonna say something?
Oh, was I? Oh no.
Okay.
No, we heard. I wanted to, like in the beginning, have some stuff to say, but it's all been answered and dealt with.
Okay.
Say what you told me after I told you that story. You're like, what? You mean he wants your. Your stresses? What? You want your feelings? Your emotions? What?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly
you got
what
crumb,
I said.
Dude.
Tell me what I don't remember. What did I say?
Tell him what he said.
You're like, what? You mean your daddy loves you? You mean he just doesn't want you when you're happy all the time? He wants your stress? He wants your discouragement? He wants your worries?
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
You mean,
he wants all of you.
He wants all of you?
If you're not going to come real, don't even come.
Man.
But sometimes it's so scary to go real because you have so much emotion inside. That you're like, I don't even want to go there because I have so much that I need to get out. And it all just comes out and just, like, it hurts so bad. Yeah. That's what keeps me. Like.
But it's but we can't Band-Aid over deep issues. We've got to let the stress come out, let the pus come out.
But sometimes when you're letting that out, like I do, I get so lost. I'm just like, am I totally being, like...
But even that can be a distraction of the enemy.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. You're spending time in the presence. You're in the presence.
He wants you.
Let it come out.
Well, the thing is, he knows the innermost depth of your heart that you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You don't see what all's in there. You don't see what even you're dealing with, what the root issues are. I mean, he's got to look at that root every day of your life until you begin to ask him to deal with it.
Wow.
He called you, predestined you, knew that you were going to slip up, make mistakes, develop this root of bitterness, striving, lying, whatever it is in your heart. And he looks at that thing every single day. He sees that it's there and is waiting for the opportunity that you will give him the open door to say, I want you to address this. I want you to begin to open this up and expose this and remove
it.
And so that's what he's after. He's after the deep root issue. He don't care about the weeds and the symptoms. He's not really concerned about the sins that come up as a result. He wants to go down deep and bring healing to the root issues that cause us to stumble.
Speak that one more time. Just repeat that, please.
Jesus is not so much concerned with the branches of the tree that show up in terms of your actual actions of lying and cheating and stealing and all the things that are a result of that root issue. He's looking at that root issue every single day, and he's looking for the opportunity. He's looking for your words to release him, to have his hand go down deep into your heart and begin to uproot that. He wants to deal with the thing that is causing those sins to come up.
Yeah.
He's after the strong man in the house that's empowering all these other mindsets to you functioning in these old mindsets. He's after the thing that's causing that.
That's good.
So, in terms of prayer, I want to close in this. Just personal life, personal breakthrough. And I fully understand what it is to be a Christian and struggle in the place of prayer. I was here years in the church. I went through Master's Commission. I went through Bible college here at the church. I went through internships and all kind of stuff and didn't have a prayer life for years of my life until I took a season in my life and focused hard on this one thing. God, I want you to teach me not just how to pray, but I want you to teach me to pray. I don't want to be a prayerless Christian, and I focus and I push myself into that place. And number one, being real, being open and being honest is vital. It is key. It is necessary. If you're not willing to come real to God, if you're not willing, you know, in Hebrews 10, it says we draw near with a sincere heart. Sincerity is the opposite of an unbelieving heart. You're either sincere or you're unbelieving. Mm.
Whoa. Wow.
Ooh. Sincerity is faith.
Come on.
Sincerity draws near. Unbelieving pulls away.
That's good.
Because you're trusting more in your issues and your frailty and your weakness than you are in His goodness and His strength.
Man!
Ooh, that's a good word.
Woo!
That's a good word right
that's
there.
That's heat.
So what I want to say to you is, number one, be real. And number two, come with your weak cry. Come with your frail, weak, pitiful prayers. Because you don't understand. If you had a revelation of the power that those weak prayers have before the throne of God. You know, the very thing that you're after when you're fasting is you're going after weakness. When we fast, I'm going to talk about this next week. I'll dip into a little bit. When we begin to fast, we're embracing voluntary weakness. We are deliberately trying to get to a place where we don't want to pray. We are trying to get to a place where we're physically weak and mentally weak, emotionally tired, drained. Because those prayers are worth so much more.
Wow.
Than when you're full of fire and strength and gusto. Those prayers have so much more weight on them. And if you had a revelation of that, if you had Holy Spirit insight and intuition into that, you would understand the value that those prayers have before the throne of God. The way that they carry. The angels and the demons that are released and bound when you speak from a weak, frail heart.
Mm.
My God.
Yes.
Now, it's being real. It's coming with sincerity and your weak cry. And it's cooperating with the Holy Spirit. If your prayer life is hard, it's because you're doing all the work. It's because God has given you His Holy Spirit to pray through you. And I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues. Yes, tongues is vital and key and necessary. And that will actually, Benny Hinn calls it, it's like priming, pumping the Spirit. It's like starting the engine and getting it running. But I want to tell you, there's a place in prayer where you can tap into that river where God, you touch the Holy Spirit and you're in that river of His strength, praying through you. Bill says it like that. He says, if your prayer life is hard, it's because you're doing all the work. The Holy Spirit is given to you to empower you to draw near to God. By Him we have access through one Spirit unto the Father. The Holy Spirit gives us access. It draws us, it compels us, it strengthens us to go, come before the Father with our pitiful, weak cry and release what He wants to release in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's kind of dipping into next week. We've been here for an hour and 45 minutes. It's 9:30 right now. I want to go ahead and close.
God.
Yeah.
That's why. Be up at 4:30.
Yeah.